Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll talk to William McGinnis, Patriots Hall of Famer, a little bit later on this hour as he'll help us look back at the win against Chicago, which I got to admit didn't make me feel great. I mean, winning is always better.
Sure.
But
Stuff in there.
When you give up 333 yards passing to Mitch freaking Trubisky.
He likes Mitchell, Dale.
Yeah, I know. That's
he's
why,
not
that's
very
why
good.
I thought... He
can't
throw the ball.
Stinks. He stinks. And I don't
he
know
can how, run pretty well. I
he
mean,
can run. He can scoot. He can scoot. But he threw 9 touchdowns the previous 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, maybe...
6-1 game. Oh, maybe, he must be really good now.
No, he's not. He was terrible last year. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, he was a rookie. Maybe I was wrong about him. He can't. And then the few throws he did make, they would drop it. So I was like, okay, that's just a mess. And they still put up 31. So
we'll talk to Willie about all of that coming up.
Yes.
Patriots are off until Monday. Monday night game in Buffalo. It was funny because Ninkovich was talking about, he said the bus ride into the stadium in Buffalo is his favorite in the entire NFL.
You see some stuff there, I imagine.
See, he said, you know, and Greg actually asked him, he said, do people moon you there? He said, yeah, but sometimes it's full frontal.
Front moon. I don't know what that's called. But just
What exactly are you
what
thinking?
What is that, Ross? You would
that's
know.
The best new term, the front moon.
The front moon. That's what they do in Buffalo. Yeah, they don't care. It could be the coldest day of the year. Not going to
well,
stop them.
Well, it might be smaller then if it is
yeah,
the coldest
I understand how it works,
day.
Dale. I understand how that works. But they don't care. They are savages like, up there in Buffalo.
I sort of half understand. You know, the mooning thing, sort of half,
yeah,
kind of.
That's a good one.
I will show you disrespect. I will show you my butt.
That's pretty good.
But what exactly are you saying if you decide?
Just front.
Hey,
take a look at this. Like, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing there.
I'm really proud of this.
Maybe mind games? Is there some mind games? Because now you're left just befuddled. You're like, what am I supposed to eat? What am I supposed to think about this?
Ninkovich said he was always rooting for a bus with non-tinted windows so that he could gesture back to them.
Yeah, oh, the little... You know, eye for an eye at that point?
No.
Oh,
I don't think he was ever tempted to do that.
Oh, gotcha.
He would like to, you know, give them the double freedom rockets or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be a lot of that going around.
But that's always Monday a good night. Environment. We got lots of time to get you ready for that game.
Yes.
We'll talk to Willie later on. And the surprise so far this morning is the Red Sox have announced their playoff roster. Now, imagine this. Game one of the World Series is tonight at Fenway Park. And what we're worried about is arguably the 24th or 25th man on the roster.
We're just here to crush some food.
Yeah, right. We are. Yeah, I mean, Pomerantz shouldn't really factor in to the outcome of the series. Like, you may see him, especially if the series goes 7 games, you may have to see him. But just like Brandon Workman, right? Like, what impact did he really have on the first 2 series? Not much.
No.
Now, there was that one game where you thought maybe the game that Cora got thrown out of, you thought, all right, you're losing, but the game is close. Maybe bring in Kimbrel or maybe bring in a more reliable reliever to keep the game close. They opted to go with Workman. He got shelled. Then the game was out of hand. So that would be a time where you're like, you really wouldn't want to see Pomerantz. But you never know. There could be a time where the Red Sox get up 16-1, let's say.
And just for the sake of argument. Yeah,
throw that number out
that
there.
That would never happen in a playoff game, obviously.
Never.
No.
And then but you need somebody to pitch, and maybe that's when he comes trotting out.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. See, there's the footage from Sunday night.
Clayton Kershaw getting loose in the bullpen there at Fenway.
All by himself at Fenway Park. Well, him and whatever poor catcher had to go, really?
Yeah, come on, man. We got the day off. I'm going to go see Boston.
I got to do what? I got a reservation at Davio's.
No,
I mean, come on.
He's been pretty good, though.
Yeah, he is. Mark's in New Hampshire. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
I've been listening all morning to the reasons why Pomerantz should be on the roster. Most of them don't make any sense at all, but I think I've come up with the reason why he is on the roster.
Oh, good.
You guys have talked about that he hasn't pitched in a game since the September 30th, so he's not going to be really sharp, regardless of what he's thrown to these hitters in the last couple of days, and they're all raving about it.
Right.
He's on the roster for one reason, and one reason only, to pitch to Manny Machado. Hopefully in the first 2 games at Fenway, to get the Fenway crowd into it. The first pitch is going to be inside. just to knock him off the plate, get his attention, but not so close that it's going to get a warning. The second one's going to be right behind his butt. Now all of a sudden there's a warning. The third one's going to be right in the ribs. And Machado, not being any kind of rocket scientist or member of Mensa, is going to charge the mound. They're going to throw them both out, and maybe they'll get suspended for a couple games.
There you go. Mark, it makes the most sense. Really? Right, Dale?
Pomerantz is going to sacrifice himself
yeah.
for the greater good.
To fight Machado.
To get Manny Machado chucked.
And if that's what it takes, then so be it. Then
by the way, if that's part of their game plan, yeah. I applaud them for it.
So I don't think Manny Machado is going to do that, though. He's a dirty player without getting thrown out. He'll step on Steve Pierce's leg. He'll take out Bogarts or whoever's playing second, hopefully not Mookie. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to charge the mound to Drew Pomerantz. If Drew Pomerantz faces Manny Machado, there's problems. Something has gone
unless
awry.
Unless it's a 16-1 game.
Right.
At which point, Machado's probably out,
he's
too.
He's probably done, too. There's no reason for him to be in there in any kind of meaningful appearance.
617-779-7937. Joel's in Dartmouth. Hey, Joel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question scenario, and it's bringing it back to last series when the Red Sox announced their starting rotation and announced David Price pitching game two. You know, I listened to the show, and I had to agree that I thought before they announced that game three would be the best option for him. Either it's 0-2, 2-0, 1-1, pressure's kind of off, he's in Houston, thought it'd be a better situation. And then I listened to Alex Cora's interview in regards to why they were pitching him game two, and he talked about the Green Monster, and he talked about the short porch in Houston, and he didn't give us anything on why if it was a strategic play instead of having Eovaldi or Porcello pitch game two. And then my question is, I just started thinking, was it possibly a business decision coming from Dombrowski, trickling down to Cora, because Cora, again, didn't give us any good reason why he should have started game two.
All right, but,
and I think
but why would Dombrowski
yeah,
want him
to? What would a business reason be?
Well, and again, it hurts almost saying this because it almost means that the Sox aren't truly putting their best foot forward to win the series, but a business decision is Dombrowski was responsible for signing this guy to a big deal, right? You either do it at home and show as you do it at home, or maybe they negotiate next season because he just can't get it done. Maybe if he does get it done, maybe he's a bit more marketable, which I don't really think that's a big scenario. But I almost thought Dombrowski wanted to stick by his guy and get Price out there because it didn't make any other
sense. Yeah, but I think his guy is also Alex Cora. And I'm not saying Dombrowski doesn't weigh in on some of the decisions. I'm sure that he does. But
I don't think he tells Alex Cora, I want you to pitch this guy then you pitch that guy. That just makes no sense.
No, I mean, then just manage the team yourself. Like, I think he hired him for a reason. I think he trusted his decision. Now, I'm sure when it comes to who's going to be on the roster, they sit down and talk
absolutely.
About it.
The GM is supposed to, and I know that's not his title, but technically he is.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be involved in that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think he hands Alex Cora a piece of paper and says, here's your 25 guys. Figure out how you're going to use them.
No, I don't think he does that.
They do go back and forth, and do you think you need a 12th pitcher? Why do you want a third catcher?
Well, you remember, you go back to Hanley Ramirez. Go all the way back to that incident with Hanley Ramirez. And when Dave Dombrowski was talking about it, he said it was Cora's decision.
Yeah.
And so we were like, all right, here we go. This is going to kind of make or break what's going on early on. Oh, that was one decision that was pretty significant.
By the way, that seemed to be worked out just fine.
Who? Like, we forgot all about that guy. He's moved on. The team has done great. But Cora saw something there. And so he went to Dave Dombrowski. And think about that. All the money that the Red Sox have to eat and that Dave Dombrowski. Now, I know Dave Dombrowski didn't bring in Hanley, so it's not like the end of the world for him. But still, this is part of, you know, the payroll that you have, and you're going to pay him to not play here. And he was like, okay, sounds good. And so they did that. And so Cora, I think they talk about that stuff, but I don't think he says, here's who's starting game two, or,
no.
Hey, you know what, I really want, you know, Devers to hit sixth. Like, I think maybe with Farrell, because it wasn't his guy.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
You don't.
I don't believe Dombrowski. And by the way, if he was doing that, if I was John Henry, I'd fire him. What the hell do I have a manager for? Why are you deciding?
I thought the circumstances were a little different. I thought Dombrowski probably didn't want Farrell, but he was in kind of a tough spot to not have him.
Right.
And then, you know, they're winning the division, so you're like, well, okay. It's like we didn't want to fire him, then ultimately they did, and it proved to be the right decision.
Harold's on the cell phone. Hey, Harold.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Harold.
Good. I just had a quick question. You'd probably be able to find the stats better than me, but do you think maybe they put Pomerantz on for his batting in the National League?
No. In 62 games, no. He's got 70 at-bats. He's got 12 hits and 70 at-bats. He's hitting 171.
No.
He's got two career home runs and five career RBIs.
Two dingers.
All right. In his career.
I like that.
But no, I do not believe that they're putting a relief pitcher on because you're not going to let him hit anyway.
No, it's unless you're John Farrell.
No, yeah. Brandon Workman, come here. No, I mean, relief pitcher is not going to hit in the National League Park anyway.
No.
Yeah, I didn't know if they'd just bring him in for a pitch hit or something.
Oh, no. I can pretty much guarantee they won't be doing that.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why they are
going
with Swihart.
Could you imagine Swihart sitting over there?
Hey, Skip, what about me? It's like, No,
we're going to
just in case we need you later on, just in case both of our catchers just, you know, can't catch anymore.
He does have two career home runs.
Yeah.
But he's hitting 171 lifetime.
No,
he's like every pitchers don't hit.
He's awful.
With the possible exception of Madison Bumgarner or something.
Right. Remember Dontrelle Willis?
They don't hit.
Like a Rick Ankiel.
Yeah, he wasn't really a pitcher anyway.
No, he really wasn't. But yeah, no,
Pomerantz. It's the reason, by the way, I hate the non-DH league. For the two times a year where you get to see the pitcher ring one up for you.
It speeds the game along, though. I kind of don't mind it.
Well, I don't think it does. Because
it does, sure it does.
You're pinch hitting more.
National League games are shorter than American League games, though.
I don't think it's because of that.
Oh, yeah, I do. Because it's an automatic out for the first five innings. You just speed this thing up. Don't you think? There's got to be a reason. That's a pretty significant reason.
Okay, but this is an automatic out. Let's speed things up.
Yeah, game's
over.
That's
not a good plan. And
why not? I like a quicker game. I like a quicker game.
I'd rather see a hit mixed in now and then.
People like hit. People like action. But there's no hits anymore anyway. It's either walk, strikeout, home run.
And by the way, speaking of which, these Dodgers are going to strike out a ton.
They will strike out with the best of them.
They put up gigantic strikeout numbers.
That is for sure.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will talk to Willie McGinest at some point. We'll get back to your calls with you as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Time to talk with New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinest. Willie, sponsored by Barmakian Jewelers and Town Fair Tire. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am doing well, gentlemen. How are you guys?
I'm good. Doing great, thanks. You're going to be the guy who's going to talk me out of my concerns here. I watched the game Sunday. I think Mitchell Trubisky's a pretty crummy quarterback. And I saw him throw for 333 yards and put up 31 points against this defense. Tell me I shouldn't be concerned about the Patriots' defense right now.
Well, there is a little concern. I mean, and also some of the loose plays that you saw Mitch Trubisky make out of the pocket. I think we've had those struggles before in the past of containing these type of quarterbacks, keeping in the pocket and not letting them make those loose plays down the field. And I would say that he's not a crummy quarterback. He's a pretty good thrower. He has a strong arm. He is elusive, but you know, the Patriots defense has got to do a better job of containing those type of guys and not giving up big plays.
Willie, do you think the Patriots could be in the market? They usually are one of the most active teams at the trade deadline, but specifically defense. Could they be involved with somebody there? And what about somebody like Patrick Peterson?
Well, from Patrick Peterson's perspective, I think he wants to win. He's definitely frustrated. He's a high-caliber player that can come in and make a difference right away. And if you talk about trying to make a run for the championship and being able to stop some of these high-powered offenses, he's a perfect piece, I think, for any defense. As far as the Patriots, they have been active. And I think when you look at the youth that they have at the cornerback position and guys that are injured or not there, it would be a good fit. Of course, like I said, for any team, it's just a matter of the logistics of the money and how that will work and if that could possibly happen. And you know, the other thing is I don't know if he has any say-so of where he's going to get traded. I think that's pretty much up to the team. I don't know in his contract if that's something he has a say-so in.
Rob Ninkovich yesterday suggested that Bill Belichick would say something to Cordarrelle Patterson about the stroll into the end zone and the high five at the five-yard line. Would you picture the coach having something to say about that?
I'm not sure. I mean, there was nobody around them. These guys have fun. They celebrate. He made an extraordinary big play in the game, one of the big plays to help change the momentum. These guys, like I said, the celebrations are all in now. Everybody's having a good time. As long as it didn't jeopardize the play, or it wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that was going to take the touchdown away or penalize them on, you know, on the kickoff.
You know, before the season started, the Raiders made a huge trade by sending Khalil Mack to the Bears, and that seems like a terrible trade for the Raiders. But then they recently have sent Amari Cooper to Dallas for a first-round pick, so it seems like they may have gotten that one right, or how do you feel about that trade?
Well, the first thing as a player in the locker room is telling me we're not trying to win this year, that this is a move for the future. And, yeah, for the Raiders, that was a great trade. To get a number one for Amari Cooper, I thought that was spectacular what they did and what they were able to get for him. Now, he is a number one receiver. He was drafted in the first round. He's only 24 years old. He's a great route runner. You know, he can make explosive plays. He's still fast. If he can do a better job at holding on to the ball, I think also Dallas got a good player, especially in a needed position, player that they very much need at the receiver position. Now, I will say this: this is going to help the Dallas Cowboys offense if he's used the right way. He definitely deserves a double team. You got to push coverage towards him. This is going to open up the running game even more and open up things for Dak Prescott.
We're talking with NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis, Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinnis. Take me into the locker room this week as the Patriots prepare to take on Buffalo on Monday, and how Bill Belichick will convince his team that this is a championship-caliber squad they're playing next week.
Well, nobody's playing great right now. I don't think Buffalo's playing great, and I don't think Bill will go in and tell his team that they're playing great on every phase of the game. This is a divisional opponent. It's an AFC team. You got to go in. You got to play your best. Records don't really matter. Usually these teams play each other close because they're in the same division. They know each other well, and this is where you kind of separate yourself from the other team. So you got to go out and prepare and play your best football, and the records really don't matter.
We know Bill Belichick thinks, you know, special teams are very, very important, and, you know, a couple of touchdowns they're able to score against the Bears on special teams. How tough is it for a coach to convince starting type players that they also need to have a role on special teams? Because I can't imagine that everybody would be willing to do that.
Well, you can't dress everybody, you know, and you can't just dress guys just to play special teams. So, you know, we had a saying, the more you can do. And I remember, you know, when I came into the league, Parcells had all his starting linebackers on all the special teams pretty much, because those plays do make a difference, the hidden yardage, the explosive plays like the touchdowns we saw, and, you know, the plays where you don't, you know, allow, you know, teams to score on you. So you want to try to have your better players on special teams to help out. Unfortunately, you can't have all of them, but it's extremely significant. It plays a huge role in a lot of games. And if you have an advantage of special teams and you're making plays, especially scoring points, the chances are you're going to win those football games.
And to follow up your guys' points about special teams and the way they think of this stuff, the Patriots had had three punt rush return plays, and they went with smaller guys up front. They went with Nicholas Grigsby, Alandon Roberts, Jason McCourty, and Chris Hogan. On the fourth one, they took those four guys out. They inserted Danny Shelton, Lawrence Guy, Dante Hightower, and Kyle
right.
Van Noy.
Right.
And Dante Hightower goes and blows up Ben Broniker. They made that change for that one play.
And that's what, you know, that's what good teams do. They make adjustments. They see what's going on, especially the in-game adjustments. They check the personnel groups. And when they see something, you know, they attack it. You got to get a special teams coach a lot of credit. They watch a lot of film. They go in and they scheme and they plan. And once they figure something out, they attack it. And they made a great call.
Do you think Houston has figured something out? They were 0-3 to start the year, and they've ripped off four straight wins and are back on top of the division.
Yeah, I mean, they're a well-coached team. And, you know, I always say this about the good teams, and I think I said it a couple of weeks with you guys. I don't panic early in the season. They're a good football team. They're a playoff-caliber team. They started off a little slow. This offense is starting to move a little bit. They're moving the ball. They're scoring points. This defense has everybody healthy. One of the better defenses in the league, and they're putting that together. So I'm not confused. They're a well-coached team. Billy O has a plan of what he wants to do. Everybody's on board with that, and everybody's healthy and available. So good win for them against Jacksonville. Jacksonville is struggling. Other teams are struggling in division. And when you're playing well, that's when you take advantage of it.
You are a proud son of Southern California. Are you a Dodgers fan?
I am a Dodgers fan.
Uh-oh. So that's who you're rooting for in this World Series?
You know what? When the Red Sox made it and the Dodgers made it, I was talking to some friends, and I was like, I always rooted for the Red Sox, you know, because I wanted to see them make it, because we always rooted for each other when I played. And when the Dodgers made it, I was like, wow, I'm a hometown kid from the Dodgers, so what am I going to do now? I guess I just got to be happy and root for both teams and support. But, you know, L.A. bred, man, young kid growing up in Southern Cal, it'd be great to see the Dodgers win, a championship.
Tom Brady said yesterday he hates the Dodgers because he was a big Giants fan growing up.
Of course he does. It's a divisional game. But what I do is this. Whether it's the Lakers, Clippers, Dodgers, Angels, whatever, when a team from California makes it that far, I support just because it's California. I don't get involved in the divisions and how it's split up because I might be a Clipper fan or a Laker fan and don't like the Clippers. I support. And I get it where a lot of these fans do that, and Brady hates the Dodgers. But, you know, hey, he grew up in San Francisco area, so it makes a lot of sense.
Willie, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Willie. That is NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis, of course, Patriots Hall of Famer. I had a feeling. I mean,
yeah,
he was born and raised
in
L.A. I had a feeling he was going to be a Dodgers fan.
And this is pretty interesting as it relates to Patriots and Red Sox. According to Ken Rosenthal, Fox is open to game one of the World Series tonight. Will be voiced by Bill Belichick.
Wow.
Tune in at 8 o'clock, they say, for a piece called How Do You Make History?
It's a big game. I'm sure everybody's going to.
He was all fired up last week about him. Good for them.
Happy birthday, Alex.
So
the guy.
Get him. So, we need him. He's
so the guy with the most monotone press conference demeanor in the history of sports.
Can you do a voiceover for us? One of the great voiceover
actors
of our time.
You got me hooked now. Yeah. I got to see this.
It's going to be good. So 8 o'clock, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick voicing the open.
We're going to see if that's.
Hey, Coach, how about those sucks?
How about
any words of encouragement or anything?
I don't think they need any. Whatever they need to do, they can do. Hit, pitch, run, play defense, take pitches.
Any message for Alex Cora? It was his birthday yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Bobby Valentine, now a member of the media.
By the way, just in the interest of fairness,
yes.
He was smiling ear to ear as he was doing that.
I know, but
that.
He wasn't saying anything.
I know.
Hit, pitch, run, play defense, take pitches.
Offense, defense, and special teams.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Noon 30 today, we have a Kiefer Madness. Looking forward to that.
Kind of a seasonal madness, too, I would say. Rossi, would you say seasonal madness?
It's a good tease.
Yeah,
seasonal madness. Does this involve pumpkin coffee?
Ooh, no, not coffee.
Oh, well, there you go.
Not coffee.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. In answer to a question on the text line, yes, there might be a keys segment.
Oh, is that right?
There might be.
You know what? You need keys to the World Series.
Well,
otherwise, what's the point? What are you even doing these for? Keys to the World Series.
So I found out, based on what I've read, James Taylor's doing the national anthem tonight. Kind of low-key.
Yeah, kind of?
No, but he's got a very nice voice. He'll do a fine rendition of the national anthem.
I think we could do better.
We found out.
As a city.
Keith told us, based on Ken Rosenthal's report.
Yes.
Bill Belichick is voicing the open for Fox's World Series coverage tonight. What we don't know, we haven't heard yet,
yes.
Is first pitch.
Who's tossing out the first pitch? They haven't asked you yet?
No. Well, keep kidding. They've heard about my failed attempt up with the Portland Sea Dogs. Yeah.
So, what about Merlone? You get Lou to do it?
I don't think they've asked Lou yet. Well, they're saving him for a bigger game. Pete Abraham suggested that you have Dave Roberts throw out the first pitch and Alex Cora catch it.
I hate that idea.
That does nothing.
That is
for
the
me.
Lamest idea of all time. Hey, let's get the two skippers out there to have a pass. Get out of here. Yeah, I'll just have them go out there. Go to the mound. Hey, let's have the opposing manager throw out the first pitch. What on earth?
Popular guy in these parts,
great.
But not what I'm looking
but
for.
But not for these four games. They can go back to loving him after the series is over. He's the manager on the other team.
All right,
you want to have him throw to the current manager in this team?
I have an idea
worst idea I've ever heard.
I have a better idea for you.
I guarantee you have a better idea than that.
Days off yesterday and today, there's a certain quarterback who used to be a baseball player.
Is that right?
Who could be available,
Chris Wanky?
That's not what I was going
he was
for.
A great baseball player.
No, that's not Chris Wanky.
Oh,
no.
Tom
I'm
Brady.
Suggesting closer than Chris Wanky would be.
Tom Brady throw out the first pitch. Now, you can't have...
That would crank folks up.
You can't have Gronk out there with him, because remember last time they chased each other on the infield.
That was
and they
a
did not
goofy.
Like
yeah,
that
was that.
Sox did not like that.
We got a game here.
They tackled him in second base. It was very, very strange. So... Yeah, Brady would be a good one. And then who catches it? Just the ball boy? Or do you have like somebody else catch it?
No, Dustin Pedroia will catch it.
Oh, maybe Pedroia comes out there, yeah.
I mean, you could use David Ortiz.
Ortiz would be a
good
one.
Wildly popular here.
Eck?
Eck would be great.
Eck would be great. And have him throw it like Eck used to throw it. Kick the leg up.
And the hair would be just blowing in the wind.
Everywhere. Yeah, Ortiz would make a lot of sense. Trying to think back. Yeah, especially after the last time they were in the World Series. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Do you bring back Keith Foulke?
Sure.
To have a toss.
We're a few closers removed from Keith Foulke. Easy Koji out there, maybe. Because out there throws a dart and then just takes off.
Who most Red Sox fans couldn't pick out of a police lineup,
probably.
No, probably
not. But he was that one year, he was amazing.
I mean, if you're the Red Sox, are you saying, hey, look, we're planning on four people having to make first pitches here, so let's decide how we want to use them? Are they saying, yeah, tonight and tomorrow night might be it?
Yeah, well, I mean, if they're smart, there's not going to be a game six of this series. They're going to win. It's
either that's what I picked.
Sweep or gentleman sweep. No, I know you like the idea of having it back at Fenway to close it out, but they're no strangers to celebrating on the road, so I think that's what they'll end up doing. But yeah, do you go baseball celebrity or do you go other sports celebrity?
Can I suggest they not go entertainment celebrity?
No, I don't need it.
Because those pitches are awful usually.
I mean, how many Wahlbergs can you have out there?
And he's making a movie here right now.
Is he going to run on the field like Fallon?
No.
Is it a baseball movie?
No,
okay.
It's not. No, no.
Right.
He's making a movie in town.
Yeah. All right.
Because he's making a Robert Parker novel that they're making into a movie.
All right.
See, that would not be. No disrespect meant to Mark Wahlberg, but I'm not cranked up
all
to
set
see
on that.
That.
All set on that front. I'm with you. Yeah, there's enough baseball luminaries that you can bring back.
Yeah, I'm not interested in entertainment luminaries.
Maybe Drew Pomeranz. Just throw him out there.
Got nothing else going on.
Yeah, have a toss, Drew. Go for it.
That was the one surprise. Well, no. More surprising, Drew Pomeranz added to the World Series roster or Bill Belichick to voice the Fox Open for the World Series?
That's a strange one. That's a strange one. But hopefully, will that leak out early? Will we be able to get our hands on that? Probably not.
No.
We're probably saving that
in
for
In fact, they're probably
tonight.
Upset that Rosenthal
That's true.
Blurted
they probably
it
wanted
out.
It to Actually, be a big surprise.
You know what, though?
Gets more people ready to watch.
I mean,
right?
I got to admit, yeah. I don't really care that much about the Open, but I want to see it
no,
now.
No, but suddenly now, I think you're a little bit more interested. So I think most people will be. That'll be good.
19 years is 19 years.
Got a point there.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I will be working tonight. I heard somebody, Reamer was all worried about this morning, because I have a Bruins game tonight.
Yes.
I work at Nesson. I don't know if you know this, but they've got more than one TV there.
They're going to be aware of the Red Sox game there?
We've got a number of TVs.
You don't only have
the
NHL center ice package on?
No. Okay. You know, we've actually got a high-definition screen.
Is that right?
Which we'll have dedicated to the World Series there tonight.
You guys probably actually won't even be on delay. You'll probably be watching it quicker than we are.
I know. We'll see it like you see it. Let me take the air out of Chris Curtis's balloon here.
Oh, don't do that.
The Bruins numbers won't be very good tonight, Chris.
Against the World Series?
Because Chris
thinks
it's a hot take, a hot sports take. Yeah, tomorrow I'll give you the World Series numbers compared to the Bruins numbers.
Well, we're all looking forward to that.
Dope. Anybody's numbers compared to the World Series numbers tonight probably won't be that good.
And yeah.
I think the Bruins are well aware of that, and
Nesson's well aware of that. We have a job to do. We'll do it.
How will SmackDown compete, Rossi? Good numbers tonight?
Strong numbers tonight.
Against the World Series?
I don't
Different audience?
Thing,
local.
Yeah.
Local's going to be huge.
Big local number. Yeah, I could see
Where
that.
Are they?
L.A. and Boston.
Because they were in Providence last night, right?
I think they're Mohegan?
Oh, is that right?
They're somewhere. They're still local.
Yeah, it's still they'll stay close.
Yeah, tough day. Tough scheduling there for them to do that.
And for those who asked, yes, we did know what happened at Raw last night.
Yeah.
They were at the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence. And
that was pretty crazy.
The rather shocking announcement. Leati Joseph Anoi, better known as Roman Reigns.
Played football at Georgia Tech.
He did. He comes out and he tells everybody, I'm not Roman Reigns, I'm Joe, which is what everybody calls him.
I was like, what's happening
now?
Yeah,
and what he announced was that he has had a recurrence of leukemia.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
For months, maybe even a full year, I've come out here and spoke as Roman Reigns, and I said a lot of things. You know, I said that I'd be here every single week. I said I'd be a fighting champion. I said I was going to be consistent, and I said I was going to be a workhorse, but that's all lies. It's a lie because the reality is my real name is Joe, and I've been living with leukemia for 11 years, and unfortunately, it's back. And because the leukemia is back, I cannot fulfill my role. I can't be that fighting champion, and I'm going to have to relinquish the Universal Championship. And I'm not going to lie, I'll take every prayer you can send my way, but I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not looking for you to feel bad for me because I have faith. But I want to make one thing clear. By no means is this a retirement speech. Because I will beat this and I will be back, so you will see me very, very soon.
Vince McMahon has been trying for years to turn Roman Reigns babyface.
Couldn't do it.
One announcement last night did it.
That was crazy, though. I don't think anybody saw that.
In our backyard.
Yeah,
many of
right
our
here,
listeners
right here
were
Providence.
There last
sure.
night,
no,
watching in Providence last night.
That's crazy. So, yeah, hopefully he can beat this again.
And we could also, you know, very briefly at least, because, you know, we've got other things on the table today. We
yes,
could
we
very
do.
Briefly mention the fact that, God, that was awful by the Celtics last night.
The Magic are not a strong team, Dale.
No, they're not a strong.
No, they're not. Now, here's the thing, though, is I don't think a slower start is the most shocking thing in the world. You know, but losing to the Magic, that's not ideal. But 2-2 out of the gates, they got the Thunder on Thursday. So they're just still working some things out. I mean, Kyrie missed a shot, Gordon Hayward, they each had a chance to tie it late in the game, but it wasn't pretty. And so you've sort of seen guys sort of taking turns. They've all had like an off night here so far throughout the year. So a little bit of a slow start. I still think 60 wins is realistic. I really do. I mean, I think they'll shake.
But this has been kind of a continuation of a preseason that was a little less than you were looking for.
No, that's true. I think overall, though, the defense has been a little bit better than what Brad Stevens was upset with during the preseason. The preseason, he hated really everything about their four games. This has been a little bit better than that, but yeah, the results aren't great. I mean, there's no getting around a 2-2 start where the expectations are so high for this team, and that's one thing Stevens had said all along. You know, they are the favorites to win the East, they're the second best team in the NBA, they might be the deepest team in the NBA, but he has always been consistent saying we're not as good as you think we are.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
We're not there yet. He said it last year when they won 16 in a row, but he's been saying it this year as well. And so this should help them maybe stay a little bit more motivated because every team is facing them as though they are the team in the East. Like LeBron's gone, so you are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. And so whether it's the Orlando Magic or the Knicks or the Sixers or the Raptors, all these Eastern Conference teams they have faced in the first week plus of the season, they're going after them like it's the biggest game. And so they have to be prepared for that. And I think they'll shake this off, and I think they'll end up being as good as we expected them to be.
And in answer to a question, and by the way, this is not breaking news or anything, because I don't know if they're going to do this or not. It is certainly within the realm of possibility, because Montreal does not play Friday night, that theoretically the Bruins could move their home game against the Canadiens up so that, you know, you're not going head-to-head with Game 4 of the World Series in Los Angeles.
This is selfish Dale again, Jason, talking about moving Bruins games for himself.
Well, I'm just trying to take some of the ammo out of Chris Curtis's quiver.
I wouldn't worry about what's going on there.
Not even the reason, but I'd like to be able to watch that.
I wouldn't worry about his quiver at all.
In fact, we try not to think about his quiver.
But yeah, maybe they'll move a Bruins game for you, Dale.
Maybe
they will. They've done it before.
Montreal plays Thursday night in Buffalo. They do not play Friday night. They play Saturday here against the Bruins, 7 o'clock game. And then they don't play again till next week. So you could theoretically do that. I don't know that they will, but...
Let's see. Last day of the World Series is going to be...
Halloween.
Nope. It's going to be Saturday.
Oh.
Enjoy it. Get out to L.A. Win Friday, win Saturday. Baseball season ends October 27th.
Now, everything looks Boston's way.
It does.
The way this is going to play out, it's going to go to Game 6, regardless of the outcome, because you're going to have tonight, tomorrow, you'll have Thursday off, you can enjoy whatever you want to do on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, World Series, Monday Night Football,
right.
Tuesday, World Series.
Maybe, yeah.
They might even go to Wednesday just because of it, because you'll just have...
They're not going to play 7 games against the Dodgers. They're not.
You think no chance?
None chance.
Dale, any chance of
Depends
7
Depends
on
games? How much Drew Pomeranz pitches.
If he's in there,
I think they just announced he's starting game 3.
Yeah, he should. Get him out there.
617-779-7937. Beth is in Needham. Hey, Beth.
Hi. I like the idea of Jerry Remy throwing out the first pitch.
I do, too.
How about that? That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
That's actually a heck of an idea. Now, I don't know what they have... planned for tonight. We're sitting in here theorizing that would get a huge reaction at Fenway.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, that would be amazing, and I think he deserves it.
It's a great call by you. I think he's, you know, doing pretty well. We saw him briefly. He appeared late in the season on a couple of the telecasts with Dave O'Brien. That I think Red Sox fans would love that if
yeah,
he
that'd
came
be a good
out.
One. That'd be great to see. I don't know what they got up their sleeve. We'll see. They usually do it up pretty big. Maybe they should get the fake Aretha Franklin who sang for Derek Jeter. Maybe she can come out, sing a number, and then toss out the first pitch.
If Dr. Charles is still involved, they'll get the cow sills back.
He's probably got a lot of ideas.
He'll reunite the cow sills like he did one time. Remember that?
Yeah. Like, doctor, we got plenty of ideas. We're good. You can stop sending us ideas. We'll take it from here.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dale, you're saying you want a big reaction. How about Liz Warren to Donald Trump?
I think that'd be stupid.
What?
Yeah, that'd be dumb.
All right, I ask this a lot, and I usually do miss something. Did we ask for suggestions on the first pitch?
No.
Because I'll be honest.
Yes, you did.
The first one was a good suggestion.
No, you did. You asked people. You said call in.
Is this now a thing? Yes. I gave the number out and everything?
I can get the tape of it.
So that's the – you can't. I promise you can't. This happens every once in a while, Dale, where all of a sudden we're talking about something. And
well,
then
we just were wondering who they're going to bring
out. We were curious who it was.
We wonder who it was. We brought up a couple of reasonable options.
Maybe you could tweet those into Dale Keefe, WEEI.
I don't think that last guy had
Maybe you could not involve anything involving politicians at all.
Try it.
I mean, I
see what happens.
We don't even want celebrity actor, singer, dancer type.
Any of the Wahlbergs,
first pitch guys.
No,
we're good with all of that.
Although Cardi B is a big Red Sox fan, if they bring Cardi B out,
really?
I wouldn't hate that at all. What, you don't like that idea?
No.
Big celebrity fan. Have Cardi B throw the first pitch to Lil Wayne, two of the biggest Red Sox fans in the world.
That'd be great. Yeah,
people would like it here. I think.
How far? If you reversed it, I'm not sure it would make a big difference. If Lil Wayne was throwing to Cardi B, I don't think it would make a big difference. How far do you think this first pitch is going to go?
Well, maybe you just stand in front of the mound. Maybe you stand it there and give it a toss. Is this Cardi B? Oh, here we go. Huge fan, biggest fan. You'll probably see her. I bet they'll show her at the game a bunch. She's got to be there tonight.
You think she lives in L.A.?
Well, the game's in Boston, Ross.
No, I know, but I mean... Who are they playing?
Who are the?
They're playing LA.
Who are the Red Sox playing? It's been kind of solidified here for a while.
What I'm trying to say is maybe she'll be in LA, sitting, right next to the Red Sox dugout.
She's such a big fan. She might be at both places. She might travel. I bet she has a little here, a little there.
Maybe she could hitch a flight with OMF.
She could. She might be on their flight.
Are they taking the private jet out? Is this going to the Super Bowl thing? Have they got the private plane going to L.A.?
Well, let me ask their producer. He seems to know all the ins and outs.
Private plane for the lads going to L.A.?
No. Just coach? Where are they going? Coach? What are they doing?
No. Lou, Castagan, Neverett. They get to fly private. The other guys are flying commercial.
Oh, Lou's going with the squad? Oh, that's a
They're
slap
letting
in
Lou
the face
go with
to Glenn.
Letting him go with the team?
Glenn has to fly like every other loser out there? That's unbelievable. Oh, I had a celebrity on my flight, by the way, to South Carolina.
I did.
It was Cardi B. No, it was not Cardi B.
That? No.
No, Busy Phillips. You ever heard of Busy Phillips? What are you laughing at?
Oh, yeah.
That's a celebrity.
Cougar Town.
She was in...
She's... Busy Phillips.
All right, Dale, please.
Come on.
Please.
Did you ask for an autograph?
No, I
hey, Busy? Selfie?
No, see, Dan, this is ridiculous. Busy Phillips is a very popular actress. She was in, let's see, Freaks and Geeks. She was great in Freaks and Geeks. She was on Dawson's Creek. She was on...
She was in Cougar Town.
Cougar Town.
Very popular show.
You remember Cougar Town with Courtney Cox?
Was the plane a buzz?
It was. We were all a flutter.
Walking by Busy, because obviously she was in the front of the plane. Well,
she really was.
Of
she
course.
Was front seat. And it was one of those planes where, like, there really was no first class. It was
too
like
bad
all the
for
same.
Busy, huh?
So you walk by her, I'm like, is that Busy Phillips? My wife's like, yeah, that was Busy Phillips.
Was
like,
she was also on ER.
Oh, great show. I never saw it, but I've heard good things.
She was in the world famous White Chicks.
She was in the film White Chicks with the Wayans brothers. That's a good job getting in on that.
Were people pestering her on the plane?
No.
Excuse me, Busy, sign my cocktail napkin.
Careful. Nobody seemed to be bothering her too much. No, she was able to make
nobody
it.
Nobody but you knew who she was.
No, my wife did. My wife's a big fan of Busy Phillips. I think she's a great actress.
He didn't even put up the quotation fingers when he said,
no,
celebrity on my plane.
She is a celebrity.
She's definitely a celebrity.
Busy Phillips, celebrity. She's also very good friends with Michelle Williams and is always on the red carpet with Michelle Williams. They met on Dawson's Creek.
Was Michelle Williams on the plane?
No, she wasn't. She's much more famous. No, she's much more famous.
I've heard of her more.
You've never heard of Busy Phillips?
I've heard of her. I just don't know that I would have called her a celebrity.
Well, big celebrity on the flight.
On her way to make a big movie down there, was she?
No, she's got a book tour going on, I think. She's got a big book out there if you want to grab it.
Uh-oh. Competition.
Yeah, look out, Dale. You guys are going to be duking it out.
We're probably cross-pollinating our audiences
Absolutely,
here.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do I buy the Dale book or the Busy Phillips book? I don't know what to do.
Big decision out there.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.